The views and opinions expressed by any hosts or guests of WJMS Radio do not reflect the beliefs of its owners or associates. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to WJMS Radio or the show hosts whose words, advice, and or opinions appear from or on our website or on air.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Are we on the air?
You're listening to WJMSradio.com.
Jam.
This chick is a sick individual.
You're tuned in to Sound Off with your girl Jams right here on WJMSradio.com.
There is no competition.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Sound Off right here on WJMS Radio. This is your girl, Jams. So excited to be with you guys today. I have a great show for you. Before we get into that, I want to thank the folks behind the scenes that help make Sound Off and WJMS possible. You guys know who you are. Thank you so much for your continued support. I want to thank the folks who also listen and tune in every single week faithfully. Without you guys, the show is nothing. So definitely thank you guys for every single week, your dedication to the show. And we have some awesome guests that are coming up the next couple of months, so make sure you keep tuning in and you keep telling your friends about the show, spreading the word if there are folks that would like to be guests as well. I want to shout out our social media for today. If you guys want to get in touch with us after the show, of course, the social media for the radio station is at WJMS Radio on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. We also have a little bit of video content up on YouTube. If you're interested, you can check that out. Again, it's at WJMS Radio. There's a video blog that I conduct and some other stuff like that. So make sure you check out all that information and share. But I want to get into the show for this afternoon. I have very special guest Asia with me. She is the owner and founder of Asia B's Sweet Treats. She started her baking and pastry business 5 years ago, and she specializes in dessert bars, custom design, cakes, and cupcakes. Very, very excited, especially, you know, fat girl at heart, you know, somebody who makes cakes is near and dear to my heart. So I'm very, very excited to welcome Asia to the show today. Good afternoon, and how you doing?
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. So I gave the audience a little bit of a background on who you are, but why don't you kind of, you know, give everybody a little bit more of an in-depth look at who you are and, you know, maybe how you got started baking and what brought you to where you are today?
Well, I started baking when I was about 11 or 12.
Wow. Okay.
And then also I have an art background. So my middle school and high school, I was always in art class. So I used to draw landscapes and trees. Just picked up on it. Just was always an artist. And also my first love was culinary. So it was cooking at first. So I taught myself how to bake and cook at 11. So then on, my senior year of high school, the recruiter came in from Monroe College. Monroe College has a culinary arts degree program. And literally, he's sitting there, and I just thought about it. I said, I love food. I love sweets. I'm a sweet tooth person. So I was like, you know, I decided to change my major into baking and pastry science.
Wow,
so
okay.
I got my associate's degree in that. So that's how I got into the whole baking and cooking, just the whole creativity aspect of it, and experimenting in the kitchen at home. And, you know, you're doing your own thing. You don't have somebody watching over you. You're not in school, you're not working in a restaurant, you know, you're at home just kind of being creative.
I love that. I absolutely love that. It's funny. You said you started at 11. I'm trying to think of what I was doing at 11. It definitely wasn't baking. When I was a kid, you couldn't pay me to get into the kitchen. Like, I absolutely avoided the kitchen. Yeah, like, I just never wanted to cook. I never wanted to be, you know, that girl. Now, obviously, as an adult, you know, I have my own place and stuff like that. Like, I do cook and I like and enjoy cooking. But as a kid, man, like, it was like punishment if you had to put me in the kitchen for anything. It was ridiculous. But in terms of, you know, starting at such a young age, what was the first thing you ever baked that you, you know, really, really loved and just were like, yeah, this is awesome?
It was bundt cakes. My grandmother, she's 90-something now. She used to make bundt cakes. I used to watch her making them. So she used to make spice cake from scratch. You know, your traditional yellow pound cake with the lemon glaze frosting on it.
Yep.
And the Betty Crocker cake. I mean, it was nothing like a good cake, Betty Crocker cake, with, like, she used to make the glaze from scratch. So I used to make those. and then I started making fudge brownies. But as I got older, my signature dishes that I started coming up with, like, was my dessert bars.
Okay.
And people love them. They're lemon bars and my apple crisp bars. And they have, like, a shortbread cookie crust at the bottom of it. So it's like a flaky, crunchy, buttery crust at the bottom of it.
That sounds so amazing. Yeah. I'm probably going to be hungry this entire show. I'm realizing this now. So in terms of, like, I like the fact that you said you went to school for this. You know, you got a degree in everything that you're doing, which is awesome. What was something that you kind of, you know, struggled with a little bit as a student in bakery? Or was there anything that you struggled at all with?
Talk about that honestly. That's something I could be honest about, that I am going to give advice to anybody that's my age, that's in their 20s and just getting out of college and trying to figure out, or culinary school. The hard thing about it is, when I got there, I was excited. I stayed on campus too. Like, I wanted to have the college experience, so I wasn't too far from home. So my mom was like, all right, this could be an option for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't one of those students where I was the professor's, like, guinea pig or favorite. So I was one of those that was to myself, and not saying I wasn't following direction. We learned French pastries and making croissants and cheese danishes, and they had us making these tea cookies. Like, it just, it was like a lot of European French style cooking,
yeah,
baking. And I was like, this is not something I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this ain't me. I remember my professor telling me I had to do a semester over with the lady again, the teacher I had, and I thought she was just picking at me.
Yeah.
I was like, I really got to do her class over again. And I remember telling me, I don't think this is for you.
Mm.
And told me, she's like, I think your mom is wasting her money having you here if you're not going to put your all into it. And for you to tell the student that, instead of you being a professor at that point, but just kind of trying to care about your students, maybe something's going on with me. Maybe this is not clicking to me. And it wasn't. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to do that. So I had to make up her class again. And the hardest thing that I learned, at some point when I was in school, I said, I don't think I want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I lost my passion for it. And I remember I did that last year. I was commuting from home to Westchester, where I was. I lived in Brooklyn at the time. And I was commuting at that point, like, probably my last semester or two. And I was at home. I was in love with the Food Network. So I was watching the Food Network. I was at home. And that's why I got the ideas for these bars. That's why, when I started AGB Sweet Treats.
Okay.
And I, you know, tweaked the recipe and I made it into my own. And they became my signature dishes. I gave those as Christmas gifts to my friends. I, you know, wrapped them up in cellophane bag and a tissue box. I went to Target. We had, like, Christmas exchange at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a time where I was like, you know what? That's why I fell back in love with baking, because this was when I was in school and I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it. At that point, I didn't even think I was going to graduate. Of how I wasn't inspired. I wasn't motivated. I was like, let me just finish, because let me just get my degree. That was the hardest point in my life. Like, you get to college and you think it's going to be this grand gesture,
yeah,
and it's not. It's not. It's not what he's even cracked up to be, honestly.
So, and you know what? It's funny, because I have family members who are in the culinary industry, and I have friends and stuff who, you know, went through the same thing that you kind of went through. And I hear that a lot about culinary school. What do you think it is about going through culinary school that tends to burn out, you know, aspiring bakers and, you know, chefs? Like, what is it about going through this process that really just takes the passion and the love out of it for people?
You know what, I feel like it's so cutthroat, and they make you feel like you got to be this certain persona about yourself. Like, you have to be this cutthroat chef. You can't be laid back. You can't be cool. And that's why I feel like I've got more hands-on experience just meeting other chefs. mm-hmm. and being inspired because I've seen chefs that wear makeup and they look glam. And I'm like, that I want to inspire to be that, but I want to be my own type of chef where I'm cool and people can relate and enjoy the food or enjoy baking. And I think what it is they have this persona, this is how you have to be, which is cutthroat, with that white chef coat jacket. This is what we're learning. Yeah. And I'm going to be honest with you. When you go in there and you go in there, sometimes people don't even know how to bake, but they have a passion for it and they want to go to school for it. And I always think your best teacher is getting the experience being at an internship or externship where you're working, you're getting paid or not paid, and you're working that experience with underneath somebody for 6 or at least a year. Because when you go to culinary school, they're teaching you how to pipe maybe twice. Mm-hmm. No one's going to pick up on how to pipe in like a day or two. Some people do. Everybody learns differently. Because I know I'm a visual learner. Like, you talking, I have to see you demonstrate something. That's always how I've been as a kid growing up. So I feel like they need to change the criteria and ask the students what they want to learn. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to be honest, they teach you things for like a couple of days and they expect you to pick up on it in a couple of days. And not everybody's teachable the same. Everybody's learning skills are completely different. So I feel like it should change. They should, you know, pipe down and figure out what they need to work on. Because you get out of culinary school, and sometimes you don't even get the job that you want to get. It's so hard.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is finding the right job for you after you get that degree. Right. Definitely an issue. So in terms of the schooling that you went to, you know, is it, I mean, I don't know much about culinary school. So when you go there, you know, you're in a large classroom setting. You guys, obviously it's not easy bake ovens, but you all have your own personal ovens and stoves that you work on to create these dishes. But do you also then have, you know, like obviously assignments and stuff where you have to come back to that space and recreate, or are you using different stoves? Yeah. And
you definitely do. Like, you'll share a stove with somebody, or it'll be on the other side. See, we're, at least with Monroe College, I have my regular college classes. So I didn't, that's why my mom wanted me to have an option. She's like, what happens if you don't want to do culinary? Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to change, when you're in culinary school, you can't change your major.
Yeah.
You get a certificate. So I got a degree. So there was food and beverage. There was nursing, there was criminal justice, it was just other majors, like if I wanted to change it, if I wanted to.
Oh, that's good.
So that was a good thing, but I had kitchen class twice a week, or maybe I think it was once a week. I had kitchen class, and then I had my regular classes throughout the week. It was either 4 or 5 classes, depending on how much I wanted to overload myself that semester. Mm-hmm. I did 6 classes my first semester. So I don't know why I did that, but I did. And they have a knife skill class where they teach you knife skills. Then you have like meat and poultry where they're teaching how to, what's the difference with meat and poultry. Then they have like baking 1, baking 2, then baking 3 is like your ultimate level. You're making cakes and learning how to slice them and how to ice the cakes. And then we had, you know, a baking club, and then we had a baking competition where we went in to compete with other schools.
Okay.
Making cakes. So I miss Monroe College. I love Monroe College because like I said, if I would have just went to culinary school, I wouldn't have that experience going to football games, going to basketball games.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. So that's why Monroe College was like the perfect fit. Like, it was a culinary arts degree program. So I wanted that whole college experience where I went to basketball games and got to go to, you know, the parties and stuff like that. And
yeah, I'm a big proponent for that, because I went away for college. I'm from Massachusetts and I moved down to Philly for college. So I was way out of state for school. But I am a big fan of and a big like supporter of going away to school, because I feel like, you know, when you're at home for college or when you're home close by and mommy and daddy are right there, it kind of takes the pressure off you to succeed. You know, like it kind of makes it so that if you fail, you know, you just come right back home and everything's going to be okay.
Right.
You know, whereas right. if you go away to school and you really immerse yourself in going to college and like being far away from home, it really tests you. Like it's the first real test that life puts on you to stand on your own two feet. Like mommy and daddy aren't going to wake you up to go to school and go to class. Like, are you going to be
it
an
was
adult?
Hard.
Yeah. You
it
know,
was hard for me. I, my mom was the last mom to leave.
Yeah.
Parent to leave my dorm because I didn't want her to go. And
yeah.
like my mom, she kept me nurtured, but she had morals and standards. She still have them from this day. Like, it doesn't matter how old I get, I'm still, you know, I'm still young, I'm still growing. So she still teach me the do's and don'ts. So she's like, I want to teach you while you're still young, because when you get in your 30s and your 40s, you know, I want you to learn.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, definitely. So, but I mean, I agree with you. I think going away to college is definitely, it's worth it, honestly. It's a lot of fun, and you make some really, really good memories. Like, and you just, you make some friendships, too, that sometimes travel with you straight through adulthood, you know, all the way through.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have friends now who I met in college. My best friend was my freshman year college roommate, you know, and I'm the godmother to her child, so... Like you
oh,
make
that's
these,
awesome.
Yeah, you know, like you make these connections with people that
yeah,
are sometimes just amazing. So I think it's awesome myself, and I applaud you for doing it too. But we're going to take our first quick break of the show. When we come back on the other side, we're going to dive into the ins and outs of you owning the business, you know, like what it took to get to where you are. So we'll hit that in a little bit more. Again, folks, if you want to touch base with us on social media, it's at WJMS Radio on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And we'll be right back.
Baby, let's cruise away from here. Don't be confused, baby. The way we
Welcome back to Sound Off on WJMS Radio. This is your girl, Jams. If you're just joining us, I have special guest Asia with me. She's the founder of Asia B Sweet Treats, and we are having a deliciously sweet conversation about all the pastries and things that she makes. And right before the break, we were talking about her schooling and the upbringing and sort of where she came from to where she is today. So, Asia, I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about where you are now. So you're running this business. You know, things are successful and things are going well. What did it take for you to actually get the business started? You know, did you get a business degree or did you do any business classes? Or, you know, what was that process like from going out of college with a degree to now owning your own business and doing what you do for what you love doing for work?
Well, I remember my mom taking me to a couple of, like, business classes, like, on entrepreneurship when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So she did expose me to that. She exposed me to a lot of different activities as a kid. She was just that hands-on parent. Like, you're not going to sit in the house and not do anything.
Yeah.
So I was just like, all right, you know. So when it was getting ready, I was getting ready to graduate. You know, everybody sometimes got their jobs and opportunities lined up. So I wasn't sure. I was one of those. So I knew I was graduating. I was like, I gotta get the heck out of here. I'm done. That's all I knew. But like I said, before I graduated, I started experimenting. I got my mojo back with baking.
Mm-hmm.
I started making those dessert bars. I was experimenting every week on how to perfect the lemon bars. Like I said, I gave them as Christmas gifts. So as time went on, I was like, oh, I want to own a baking business. I just kept saying that to my mom. And she's like, you should just do it. Just do it. So I was like, how am I going to do it? I don't have no business cards. I don't have no Instagram. I don't have nothing. And at that time, like, I had just got Instagram a year ago. So I wind up calling it Asia B Sweet Treats. And the B's part is, like, a huge part of my life. It stands for my mom and my grandma. We all have B's in our last name.
Okay.
So Asia B Sweet Treats was just, like, that was it. I said, this is the name for it. And my friends and my family was like, oh, I love it. That's just perfect. So I came out with these. If it wasn't for these dessert bars, I wouldn't have Asia B Sweet Treats right now.
Mm.
And they play a significant part in my life. So I started back in 2014. It was June. I ordered the business cards. I got the Instagram. And I did my first summer market in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did a market before. I got the tent, all of that. And I was like, I'm really, like, selling some stuff. Like, I'm really selling, so I'm trying to be an entrepreneur. And I'm like, oh, my God. My mom and godmother's out there helping me sell it.
So, that's always what happens. Family's always there to help you make it work.
Yes, my mom was like, all right, I'm going to get the tent. I'm going to get the table. She's like, you got to put in the work, though. You can't be sitting here. And our mommy's just doing all that. I'm like, I know. So we had a cooler to keep them cool. We were swapping out the bags with the ice. It was hot that day. And I remember, I was like, wow, this is it. So I, you know, took a break from it. And then I was like, oh, my focus is on, oh, let me just get a job in my field. But from this day, I'm not passionate about working a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
It's just not for me. And I'm not knocking somebody else that wants to work a 9-to-5. I've had to do it. I've done it. But just to reap the benefit of something that I worked hard for myself from the ground up and not having working underneath somebody else, that's the empowerment and, you know, I have for myself. So I rebranded AGB Sweet Treats about 2 years ago because I was like, yeah, I'm working. And I was like, oh, you know, I said, I don't have to be working in a restaurant to have the entitlement of being a pastry chef.
Mm-hmm.
So I automatically feel good when somebody asks me and I say, I'm a pastry chef. That's what I am. I own a business. Is it where it needs to be right now? Absolutely not. It's not. I'm still trying to figure out what's next for it. I'm still figuring out, do I need to build a team behind me to help me get to where I need to get to? Because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's definitely hard.
Well, that gives me a good transition into my next question, which is going to be, what's been the hardest part of running this business, you know, now that everything is off the ground and you've got the business cards, you've got the tent, and you've got, you know, mom and family helping out. But what's been the hardest thing for you so far with having your own business?
I have faced some people, and not everybody's going to wish you well.
Oh, yeah.
I have come across some not nice people, and I've had to, you know, wipe my tears away, had to be a big girl and just be like, you know, not everybody's going to have good intentions. Not everybody's going to have nice things to say. Not everyone's going to support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gotten where, oh, why is this so expensive? And, you know, again, people don't really understand, like, you go grocery shopping, you know how yeah. much expensive things are. But it's just kind of like, I get good quality things for what I bake, like the vanilla,
yeah,
the butter. You know, I could just use any type of butter, but it's certain specific type of butters that make a crust, that makes the moisture of a cake, the moisture of a brownie. Like, people don't consider things like that. Like, I use vanilla bean paste. Vanilla bean paste has the most flavor than vanilla extract, the liquid, because it's the paste of the bean.
Mm-hmm.
Vanilla bean costs like $13, $15 for just one.
Mm.
And I'm saying that because people don't understand, like, I use organic eggs. You know, people don't think about things or certain things, the process, and it's not good.
Yeah,
so
they don't understand.
I'm putting that in account now, and it's just kind of like, and I'm just learning, like, Asia, those clients are not for you.
Yep.
And I'm starting to realize that now. The people that don't have a problem spending the quality of things that's in a cake box and it's wrapped up in ribbon and my card is on it and they're not getting it all tilted or the cake or anything's dented, I make my stuff with love, so.
They're not used to that.
So I found myself sponsoring a couple of events and sometimes it doesn't work out. Yeah, so the consistency is not there. And I'm looking at myself, I'm like, what am I doing wrong? And sometimes I want to give up. Every day I'm like, I don't want to do, like today, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm.
I ain't getting nothing this month. And I'm just, and then there's some months that it's just kicking in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this, you know, I love what I do. And I love that smile on people's face. You know, they make that sound when something tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a struggle every day.
I know.
Trying to figure out what's next.
I hear you. And, you know, as a fellow entrepreneur, I know the highs and I know the lows very well. The lows where you're like, why am I doing this again? Like,
right.
I could just really be not doing this and wasting my time. And then there's other times where, like, nobody can tell you anything. Like, this is why I'm doing this, because I'm amazing. Look at me go. Watch
right.
out, world. So I know the highs and I know the lows very, very well. But, you know, since we talked about what the hardest thing has been for you so far, why don't we talk a little bit about what some of the most memorable moments have been for you, like some of the best things that you've excelled at and, you know, stuff that you've surprised yourself at how good you're doing with.
I started... The creativity that I have is beyond me. I started making cakes with flowers on them now, and I'm just like, oh, this is amazing. I think the highest point I've had in this journey, I've met some amazing mentors that I have at right now in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've met some chefs, you know, they've come and go out my life, but... And sometimes I try to hang on to the people that I've met.
Yeah.
Some people are not going to stay in your life forever. My mom always tells me that. And I tend to, like, try to be loving and warming. And I'm like, well, that person came in my life just temporarily for a reason to teach me something.
Yep.
You know, whether that's a chef, a mentor, or somebody that's ordering for me. And I feel like people that I've had through this experience, if it wasn't for me launching AGP Sweet Treats, I'm not where I need to be, but I've come a long way.
Yeah.
I've gone to some great events, things that I never thought I would go to. you know, just the thought of dressing up and having the table and my stuff displayed, having my stuff on a flyer. My most memorable was when I rebranded Asia B Sweet Treats back in 2017. I got new business cards. I wind up getting flyer out around my town where I live, and I had about maybe 30 people come out. I even had my middle school teacher that I know from this day come out. She drove all the way from Westchester to come to Jersey.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's so a trip.
My boyfriend was there helping me set up. My mom, my grandmother, she just brought herself. She was much help. She was just there.
She's there as there in support. That's all. Like, yeah.
Yes, and to eat. So she was there. But just that was probably the most powerful moment. You know, not profit wise, but just the thought, like, I kept saying I wanted to have a dessert tasting, and I finally just did it.
Yeah.
I just did it. It was 2 years ago, and I had one last October. But that was the most memorable one, when I was like, I never stopped since I had my dessert taste. I never stopped trying to pursue AGB Sweet Treats. I never put it on the back burner. Because when you put something on the back burner, oh, I'll get to it, you're not going to finish it.
Yeah.
And exactly. I know how I am. I'm like, if I start something, let me finish it.
Yep. I agree. I'm kind of the same way, you know, like if I put it on the back burner, it's going to end up back there with a bunch of other stuff, and like it may get pushed down the line a lot further, you know. So I try, like you said, I try to keep things relevant and stay on top of things too. But I want to talk a little bit for some creativity on your side here. So, you know, you said you have an art background, and we actually have that in common. You know, I like to do landscapes myself.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I actually went to school as an art major and ended up switching my major to communications later on down the line. But in terms of, you know, your artistic background, does that filter its way into your baking at all? Like, do you find yourself creating things that, you know, reflect the artwork that you do and vice versa? Or how do the two kind of come together?
Yeah. I mean, I will think of something to make. Like, and it's not even just cakes. And cake is like a blank canvas for yourself. Like, you got to wait for them to get cool or whatever.
Yep.
But when you start adding stuff to it, it's just like no tomorrow. So I like making cakes, but I go back to these bars and, like, even the new ideas. I came up with this new recipe about 2 years ago, these brownie s'mores. They have toasted marshmallow inside the batter.
That sounds good.
And then on top. So I don't like anything plain. I like everything to be shiny and to pop. So I started adding painted edible gold glitter on the brownies. So I literally, like, would hand paint my little brush and start hand painting edible gold glitter. And I caught people's eyes. I did it one time for an event, and I haven't stopped putting it on there since then. And I put them on the apple crisp bars, and I put them on the lemon bars because the edible gold glitter just pops with the brown, and it pops with the chocolate and the white because the marshmallows are toasted. So and then another thing I love doing stuff with is flowers. I love buying flowers and actually taping them with the floral so, you know, the food won't get contaminated.
Yeah.
And I love putting, I put edible glitter on the flowers too. So I feel like I'm known for my glitter now. I'm like, anybody, you know, someone used to ask me, what makes you stand out? And I'm like, and I would say, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm thinking, like, it's the glitter. It's edible glitter.
It's literally glitter. Yeah. And it's funny because I hate glitter. Like, it gets everywhere. Like, I just feel like it's so messy. But edible glitter sounds good.
But. So that's when the creativity comes in, because I'm, like, thinking, like, I want to make, because I was thinking, I was like, oh, I want to make a fudge brownie, but I don't want it to be plain. I was like, I'll make a s'mores brownie s'mores. So I started adding glitter to them, and I was like, And one of my customers really loved them when I did them for her. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've just been doing that to, like, all the bars.
Yeah, it sounds delicious to me, to be honest with you. Like, the s'mores one's got me hungry. Like, I'm dying to... Actually, you know what? You need taste testers? Because I'm available. I'll volunteer my services if you ever need a taste tester.
I would love to.
Yes! Awesome. Because nobody ever takes me up on that. They always laugh, and it's like, on to the next question. Like, I'm dead serious.
Right. No, serious. I have an event coming up. Maybe you can come to that I'm going to be having... I'm going to make the announcement soon. So.
Okay. Yeah, keep me posted for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's take another quick break, the second quick break of the show. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about what's coming up in the future. So future plans, okay. Events coming up, things like that, and where you see yourself going with Asia BC Sweet Treats in the very near future. So again, folks, right. If you want to get in touch with us, social media is at WJMS Radio on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And we will be right back.
Chain, wind around my neck, I'm taking my freedom.
Welcome back to Sound Off on WJMS Radio. If you're just joining me, you've missed the better part of a wonderful episode with special guest Asia B from Asia B Sweet Treats. We are, we're going to be friends because she said I can be a taste tester for her. I'm so excited. You know, the fat girl in me is like, yes.
I have no problem with that at all.
For sure, for sure. So right before the break, we were talking about, you know, some of the things that you struggled with, some of the things that you excelled with, how you started experimenting with glitter and how it became your signature or trademark. So let's talk a little bit about what the future is for Asia B Sweet Treats. Where do you see yourself going, you know, in the next 5 years? And what do you have coming up on the horizon that we should be on the lookout for?
Well, I have had always, so I don't want to have a storefront or anything. I want to have an online based bacon and pastry business where people place their orders online.
Okay.
You know, and I ship and deliver or drop off or stuff like that, and have like a little food. I want to have a food blog where I'm posting weekly recipes people can bake at home with their family, their kids. Also, maybe some live baking demos online, mm-hmm. where it's pre-recorded and they want to order and sitting and actually want to do the baking class on how to make cupcakes or cakes or how to pipe or anything like that. So that's something I want to do in the next 5 years. That's where I see myself full time with that. Hopefully. What I have coming up this spring, I'm going to have an all-girls cooking brunch.
Oh, nice.
So I'm popping out with my food background now. So it's going to be an all-girls cooking brunch. It's going to be in Brooklyn, New York. The details are not finalized yet. It'll be probably finalized by next month. This year, it's going to be a lot of baking and cooking classes.
So, and I was going to ask you that question, too, you know, in terms of, because I know you bake, but I was going to say, is there any opportunity or, you know, potential for you to switch gears to just start cooking, you know, or maybe do both at the same time? So
I definitely am going to be doing it, and I definitely am going to be having something in June where it's going to be open to the public. People can come. It's going to be like a brunch bash.
Okay.
So I'm really excited about that. But that is something that is going to be new to my business. And I'm going to kind of continue that for the rest of the time being if it goes well. So it'll be, you know, couples can have a cooking class. They can sign up. So this is going to be like a once a month thing. So this is something that people can look forward to.
Okay, great. That sounds good.
Yeah.
So, and then for, you know, of course I have to ask the good question. So besides what you like to bake, what kind of food do you like to make? Like, what's your signature dish in terms of cooking?
My favorite thing to cook, and it seems like it's always pasta.
Pasta's great.
Yes, I make a lot of my sauces. I'm a sauce person. I will make any type of sauce from scratch. I make Alfredo sauce from scratch. I make, like, garlic sauce from scratch. So it's always a mixture of some type of pasta. It doesn't even matter what it is. It's always got, it's either with shrimp. Well, I will say my favorite dish to make or love to make is penne alla vodka.
Okay.
That is like the, you know, the traditional Italian, you know, pasta. I just love to make pasta. It's not good for you, but
I know. but it's so good though.
I love to make pasta, and I've been on a health journey lately the last several months. So I've been, you know, dipping into making a lot of vegetarian dishes with like roasted vegetables in the oven and, you know, drizzling it with like honey on top of it, something light so it can taste good. I will say like my favorite brunch thing to make is like cinnamon sugar French toast.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Cinnamon. That's going to be for the all girls brunch.
That sounds actually great.
French toast and maple leaves fried chicken. Mm. So I'm making syrup from scratch.
Wow. Okay, cool. Yeah, and I'm kind of on like a health kick myself as well lately. You know, we're just trying to eat healthy and eat right and eat more vegetables. So I'd be definitely interested to see if you post up, you know, like you said, weekly recipes and stuff. I would love to see some of those things. go up right. so I can try them myself and see, you know, how they come out. But yeah, that all sounds really good. So a couple more questions before I let you go. Who, in terms of like, I know you have a lot of chefs and stuff that you say were mentors for you and stuff like that, but are there any celebrity chefs or any other chefs that you look up to, or anybody that you like would dream to love to cook with someday or something like that? Or like, who was an idol for you in the cooking industry?
Well, growing up, I used to watch the Food Network. Her name is Giada De Laurentiis.
Mm-hmm.
She's an Italian chef. She cooks, her show is called Everyday Italian. And then now it's called Cooking with Giada. She was like, that would be my ultimate goal, is to cook with her or to cook with Ina.
Okay.
But my favorite chef that I love and I look up to now, she lives in Texas, and I hope she hears this. her name is Gabrielle McBay, and she's in her 20s, and she's like the dopest, coolest chef that I look up to right now. She does a Southern style flair on anything that you want. If I can see her page, like, it just is just divine. So Gabrielle McBay is my favorite chef right now.
Okay.
And I have one more chef. Her name is Chef Nick. She is a celebrity chef. She cooks for the celebrities and stars and stuff like that. I've talked to her a couple of times. But those two I really look up to. It's just, they are women that do a flair on food, and they're inviting, and you know, they've been mentors to me in ways that they don't even know. So
okay.
Just trying to get advice from them and stuff like that has been very helpful.
Okay, excellent. Well, you know, we'll try to tag her when this goes live. We'll try to tag her in it, and maybe she'll see it and reach out, and you know, you'll get your dream collaboration to happen. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yes.
So, all right. So, well, we're going to get ready to end the show here, but I want to give you an opportunity to shout out your contact information where people can get a hold of you, maybe check out your website if they want to place any orders and stuff like that, and, you know, how folks can follow you and stay in touch.
Okay. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Facebook, mainly Instagram. I'm on there.
Yeah.
At Asia B Sweet Treats. That's ASIA. BSSWEETTREATS. Asia B Sweet. Place your orders and get, you know, discount on your first order with me, 10% off.
Okay, cool. And do you have a website or anything like that for folks, or is it just Instagram and social media for now?
It's just social media for now, though. Okay. The website is coming out this year as well. That's okay. The other big video.
Sounds good. So, folks, you heard it here first. I'll make sure I get all of her contact information up on our social media. So make sure you check out WJMS Radio on Facebook, and links will be up for that. I want to thank you so much for being on the show with me today, Asia. It's been so much fun. I'm really looking forward to catching up with you in person, since we are both in New York, and, you know, maybe figuring out how we can further this partnership. You know, I'm all about taste testing, so for sure.
No problem.
But I'm definitely looking forward to it. I want to thank the folks behind the scenes who make Sound Off and WJMS possible. Thank you guys so much for your hard work and for your dedication. To the folks that tune in and listen regularly, I appreciate you guys as well. I'll be back again with a brand new episode next week, so make sure you keep it locked right here to WJMS Radio. Until then, everybody be safe and be blessed. Thank you.
lines, strutting in the heels or her slides. Either way, eyes on her every single day, week, year. Everyone wondering how she does it with no fear. All that confidence, was it heaven sent? Does it come within? Does it come run out? I don't know. She'll just have them running out and in. Man, they want to sin, talking deadly sin with Mrs. Lady. I don't understand why she hit them like.
Thanks for listening. Tune in 24/7 at WJMSradio.com.